towards the end, we'll have to talk about some more practical aids. But before we get there, the main thing I wanted to show, the theme I want to develop tonight. Really start from last week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu is wrestling with an angel, and there's a tie, and the angel is unable to destroy, to win, to be victorious over Yaakov Avinu, and he gives him a bracha. It's really, obviously, it's coming from the Rebbe Shalom, and he changes his name. And he says, your name will no longer be called Yaakov. From now on, your name is Yisrael. Why is your name Yisrael? Kisarisa Emelokin Va'anashin Satucha. Perek Lamed Pasuchot Ten. Vayom lo Yaakov Yehemeh Oot Shimcha Kim Yisrael. Kisarisa Emelokin Va'anashin Satucha. So what does this mean? Your name now, Hashem says, Malach says, your name is now going to be not Yaakov but Yisrael. I'm adding my name to your name. Putting my name, the name Kel, into your name. And the reason is because you were victorious. You, in a certain sense, you have bested God. Right? It's difficult to say that. I didn't say it. The Malach is saying it. It's if you're fighting God, and let's put it differently, you didn't lose. You know, you're able to wrestle an angel successfully. And therefore, in a certain sense, you are a Tzad El. You're in a high level of you've reached a level of Tzad in regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore your name is Yisrael. But it's not just Imelokin, it's Imelokin V'im Anashim. The Torah tells us that his name became Yisrael because he was able to be a tzar, an officer, so to speak, over with Elokin. He was able to hold his own with Elokin, V'im Anashim, and with men. And with men. He fought with God and man in one. He won. Batuchal, he was able. He held his own. And what does this mean? In Im Anashim, we understand. He wrestled an angel. What does it mean, Im Anashim? What does that mean? He fought with man? What do you mean he fought with man? So he fought with God. He fought an angel. He fought with men. So look at Rashi. What does Rashi say, Im Anashim? Anybody? Anybody? Im Anashim? Lavan, thank you. Yishakar. Lavan and Esav. He was able to fight, to battle, to struggle with Lavan and Esav and hold his own. You think to yourself, read this passage. I mean, it's so absurd, nonsensical. It's telling you, oh yeah, when you fought with an angel of God, right? You fought with an extension, so to speak, deity, extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you were able to win, and you were successful also against, you held your own with Lava. And you held your own against Asa. Think to yourself, what?
What is that? That's like an insult, like the Gemara says sometimes, you know. You have gold, you can offer me silver. Right?
To fight against God, so to speak. Right? You're able to wrestle with God and hold your own, and then it's like, oh, by the way, and it's like little ant, you know, little tiny little monger and loser. You know, love. Oh, by the way, besides winning the, you know, the world championship, oh, you also were able to, you know, like the kindergarten, you know, little kid in pre-1A, you beat him off. What a statement is that? What does that mean? What kind of, what is that? That's, and that's why your name is Israel. Wow. You know, you have God's name attached to you. Look what you did. If I were to ask you, regarding the story of the Akedah, everybody knows the world famous story of the Akedah Sitka. Who's Nisayon? Who was it? Obviously, it was difficult for both of them. That's for sure. Avraham and Yitzchak. But if I were to ask you, who was being tested here? Or who has, or you'll say, who had the bigger test? Very, very difficult question. Really, very difficult question. Who had a bigger test? So, I'm just curious. By show of hands, just go with your gut. You don't have to be curious. I'm not going to do anything. Raise your hand if you say Yitzchak. Raise your hand if you say Abba. Raise your hand if you're deaf and you didn't raise your hand the first time. All right. So you know what? There are arguments on both sides. I could certainly, you know, argue both sides. I could argue both sides. However, the truth is that the Torah answers the question openly and clearly. Openly and clearly. At the very beginning of the paragraph, and the passage of Vayera, I think. But the Torah says, Vayehi Chafez Aleph, Vayehi Achad V'Hem Ha'Ela V'Elohim Nisa Et Avraham. Vayom Ha'Elav Avraham Vayom Ha'Inedi, and he tells him to do that. Okay. Who was it in Nisayon for? It was in Nisayon for Avraham. And the Mepharshim grappled and discuss why is it? Different explanations. A fascinating discussion, really, for another time. But there's one answer, one explanation I'd like to share with you. That resonates, I think, in this week's parsha as well. And that is that to give up one's life is so difficult. I mean, obviously, it doesn't need to be said. So difficult. And Abba was not going to die. It was Yitzchak who was going to die. But as difficult as it is to give up one's life, it's a one-time event. It's a flash in the pan. It's a moment of sensation. You just do it and you get it over. But Avraham Avinu was going to have to live for the rest of his life, dealing with the fact that he had no son. The son that he dreamed, that he wished for, and you know how he poured his guts out, did everything in the world to try to get, to pray to God, to somehow have a child. He waited decades, many decades of infertility. Finally, the child, and then the age of almost 40, he kills his child, and we have to live the rest of the day with the consequences of that. And face the world, and face himself, and face his wife. But Yitzchak,
you got to believe, and we got to believe it was a tough moment. But it would have been over like that. And therefore, Elohim Nisai to Avraham, it said the Nisai was greater for Avraham of you. I don't believe that that's my own answer. I don't believe so. I don't remember when awake after that explanation. I would quote it if I did. However, I was thinking in regards to Esau, in regards to this passage of Kitarizam Elokim and Hashem, right? The pshat is that, that Yaakov Avinu was jumped by an angel here, and it was a battle. He's jumped there in the middle of the night, and it was a terrible battle. Very challenging. Tremendous struggle, but you know what? It was a couple of hours. But the battle against Esav and Lavan, for decades, he was with Lavan for 20 years, 20 plus years. He was with Esav for almost his whole life, up until then, 60 something years. He'd been alongside Esav, alongside Lavan, criminal, Balei Taiva, Rishon, decadent people, ruthless people. Negative people, and Yaakov trumps them again and again, win after win. Defiance after defiance, he's able to hold his own and stand his own and keep his moral with his morals and his values. Keep himself clean and clear on the straight and narrow against the constant rage of the Yetzer Hara. Now that's a test. And perhaps I can even suggest that if you look at the pasuk, part of what's troubling is, if you can at least tell me that he fought against, he was able to fight an angel successfully, and fight Lavan and Esau successfully, okay, fine. You want to throw that in, but at least put it first. Say, you were able to best men, and you were even the best an angel. But it says opposite. It says, Tisarisa Nelokim Vila Hashim. Usually the greater Kiddush is second. You were able to beat an angel, and you were even able to beat man. Oh, man. He was able to beat Lavan and Esav, who with a certain sense, while of course their physical strength, any strength, they're not greater than an angel, but the reality of the grind, the test, was greater and stronger. And therefore, it followed. Even greater than having struggled successfully with an angel. Perhaps. And this is Pasha. Yosef, of course, written for all of eternity on the stage of history and the stage of the Torah for everyone to see and to study and to learn from. Not only can we, but we must. That's just totally our lifeblood. And we have to examine it. And think about it and turn it over and over and turn it over again. And learn every possible lesson we can from it. And take it towards our lives to try to be successful in our own self. What happens here? Yosef HaTzadik is faced with a tremendous Yetzer Hara. We know the story. Eshet Potiphar is after him. She's ruthless. She's actually she'll do anything to get him. She has both eyes on him. Yosef is extremely beautiful and good, handsome, good looking. The man by Matthias Pedal said that Yaakov was extremely beautiful, and we know that. Rashi tells us that Yosef had the smooth Yosef of Yaakov. We also know that Rachel was extremely, exquisitely beautiful, and Yaakov and Yosef had his mother's look, right? Between both of his parents, Yaakov and Rachel, his own chain that I could have spoken with doubt upon him, Yosef was exceptionally handsome, exceptionally beautiful. In fact, he's the only person in the Chumash Rabbi Huma said, was male, I mean. Male in the Chumash, Rabbi Huma said, the Torah openly states that he was extremely handsome. And she's got both eyes on him. She's a shiksa. She doesn't care. She doesn't play that. She has her own rules. And she goes after. And you got to imagine, she wasn't the, excuse me, she was married to the minister, you know, one of the high ministers in the government. She wasn't, you know, you got to imagine, she wasn't she wasn't ugly, put it that way. Alright? It's Mitzrayim, no less. Because she wasn't ugly. And let's see what happens here. Let's see what happens here. That Thomas Shechvayini, she just flipped me. She says, again and again, by your mind, he keeps on refusing. He says, no, no, he keeps on refusing. We'd like to get back to the sukkah in a little while. And then it says, Chazak Yud, Vayi kedabra el Yosef yom yom. Vayi kedabra el Yosef yom yom. Velo shamay la lishkav etzlo liyot imo. What does it mean? What do these words mean? She spoke to him. She spoke to him yom yom. She made her bed. Every day. Every day. Yom yom. How long was this going on for? How long was this going on for? Well, if you look at the Medrash says she was after him. This happened over a year's time. Over a year's time. Now, let's think for a second. She makes a pass at Yosef Atzadik. Yeah? And what happened? Let's set the record straight. I want to get it really clear here. She said, sleep with me. However, she said, Chazal, go to look at the Midrash and how she was dressed. I'm not even going into it. How she was dressed. This way, and change, and just that way, and change, and threaten, and play tough with him, and soft with him. And she goes and she's asking him, what does he say? What does he say? He says, no. He says, no. Let's get it clear, right? Let's not lose that part of the story. He says, no. Why am I? He refuses. It's a clear answer. It's a flat out straight no. No. It's not happening. So that means Joseph passed the test. Hey, he passed the test. He said no. And you know what? He did. He did. He said no. There it was. But you know what? The test. Place them one day, the next day, again, and the next day, again, and the day after, and the day after, and the day after, for a year's time, and we're finding in the Pesukim that Yosef begins to break down, slowly, slowly. Sure, he passed a big test, yeah, sure, but guess what? All right, she'll come back tomorrow. Tomorrow there's another test. And then another test. And then, one day, there's no one there. Not only is there no one near them, there's no one anywhere in the house. Vayhi k'ayom hazeh, there's no one there at all. Now no one's around. Now this is a year later. So what happened? Yosef is in a fight to death, fight to finish. And the Yitzhar is ready to crush him, to destroy him. This is the big moment of the interview. You would say, perhaps the biggest moment in Yosef's life. And that's the test. And Yosef is able to be successful. Now you understand the tzitzis of Yosef. Perhaps. It was a tzitzkus, it was like the tzitzkus of Avram. Like the tzitzkus of his father Yisrael. It wasn't just a quick 1 second Yisrael. You know, I think I once heard a Noach Weinberg say many years ago. Stuck with me, it's a very, very powerful, very, very powerful statement. I guess this really sums up what I'm trying to say tonight. And that is, it's easier to die Al Kiddush Hashem than it is to live Al Kiddush Hashem. And the fact of the matter is that Yitzchak had an easier job than Avraham. It was easier for him. Let him die. That's it. It's over. You're on the other side. That's it. No more tests. No more feelings. No more struggles. No more battles. No more difficulties. No more excuses. No one has to face anyone or face anything. That's it. Nobody needs to help. Nothing. But Avraham Avinu battled the rest of his life. And it's easier to die Al Kiddush Hashem than to live Al Kiddush Hashem. And in fact, the truth is, we know, I can prove this to you, we all know this intuitively. The fact is, if someone put a gun, God forbid, to our heads, it's alright. Bow! Bow or die! Now, I don't know what you think the answer is, but I know what the answer is. I know what you think. Since you're there, I don't use the example. You'll say, no, not that. Now, maybe it's tough to imagine that. I'm not trying to brainwash you, but that's in our guts, that's in our deepest neshama. You know what? Millions of Jews have died this way. Millions of Jews, less, much less of them than us, have died this way. In Nebuch, in the last 2,000 years. The fire or the cross? Right? The sword or you know, Muhammad? And look, we know the hell we hit. We know what happened. The fact is that people have been willing to die for that. But you know what? How about going to shul every day? You don't have to give your life. No, listen, you keep it. You can say, just keep 613 mitzvahs. All right? Listen, here's the story. We're not going to kill you. You just put on tefillin every day. Keep kosher, and do mitzvahs and don't do aveiros. And you know what? We don't have to go anywhere past the mirror to know the answer to that question. You can examine history, you can examine the rest of the world, but you don't need that. You can just look in the mirror. And the fact of the matter is, hey, wait a second, this makes sense. I would give my life and say, I would never do anything crazy like that. Alright. So what about doing this? And not doing that. What about not doing 365 negative commandments? Making sure not to do anything wrong. Yeah, but how does that make sense? How does that add up? Like, you know, I'm telling you, a trick question. You know, like a trick. It's that fascinating. He's right, right? I'm willing to die, but I guess it's harder to live. It's harder to live, Hashem Shemayim. It's harder to live perfectly for the sake of God. And then he dies. Wow. And there we have it. An extended, sustained Nisayon. A sustained challenge that takes place over time. Is a greater Nisayon, is a more difficult Nisayon than the momentous, sensational, you know what I call flash in the pan Nisayon. The once in a lifetime, one second situation where I have to rise to the occasion. To be consistently great is more difficult. And therefore, it's more applaudable. And more righteous. If you can say that, I don't know if you can say that. I don't know if you can say that. But Nebuch, last week someone died Al Kiddush Hashem. as we know what happened in India. Or the other one, anyway. Thank you. We know what happened. We say, wow, what can we do? What can we do? You know what? I can't say this. I strike this on the record. I can't say this for real. But you know what? We can do better. We can live like Abraham and not die like Yitzchak. We can live like Yosef. We can consistently be passing through and be even greater. You know that there's a pshat, I couldn't understand the name of Meshach HaChmah. I didn't see it. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with those words? You should love your God with?
Well, what's wrong with the order of that, those words?
B'chol avavcha, what does it mean? B'chol nafshecha. Your soul, even if what?
Even
if you get killed. B'chol meyodecha, what does that mean? With your money. Come on, what kind of order is that? Like I said before.
With all your heart, alright.
And even with all your body, you have to die for the sake of God. Alright. And with all your money. Come on. What is that? It's like pretty darn anticlimactic, but you know, as far as I'm concerned. And with all your money? And the answer might be it's more difficult to live properly and to love God with all of your money than it is to die for God. I don't need to comment about what's going on in the news for the last couple of days. Perhaps the biggest desecrations of God's name in this century. It's such a colossal tragedy. It's difficult to serve God, to love God with all your money. Difficult. As Pam says, Eir lecha geld is shver lecha geld. Difficult. Not easy to do that. And the fact is that if you do that, you're even greater. But the Gemara tells us there was one person who was even greater than him. Yosef, as great as he was, there was a person who far surpassed Yosef. And what was his name? The Gemara tells us, Sanhedrin, after 10th and Afkhal, his name was Palti ben Laish. Who was Palti ben Laish? Listen to this unbelievable story. Palti ben Laish, at least let me say this, is the person who was biblically recorded. Gemara seems to one place in it, obviously someone else as well. But recorded biblically, is a man named Palti ben Laish. Who is Palti ben Laish? If you know the story, if you look at the end of Shmuel Aleph, the beginning of Shmuel Bet, so the end, ready to take you die in Shmuel Aleph. And Perek Yudayin, Perek Yudchet, middle Perek Yudchet. Hey, I'll tell you all the people who made it. And then again, Shmuel Bey had a gimel. You see, there's a man in Palti. Who was he? Well, here's the story. You may, everyone knows, everyone knows the story about Goliath. Like Goliath, this massive giant, wants to kill the Jewish people. He's freaking everyone out. He says, I'm going to kill you. He's lambasting. He's poking fun. He's jeering. He's just insulting, humiliating the Jewish people and publicly. And in desperation, Shaul was like, listen, anyone who kills him, I'll make him rich and I'll give him my daughter. And of course, everyone's too scared, and of course, you know the story, he says, I'll do it. Little baby, why are you crazy? And of course, no one else does it. And he does it. And then who's he going to marry? Says the father, he's going to marry who? Merab, who was Shaul's daughter. But then, Shaul passes her off to someone else to marry.
Whoa! Sounds like a familiar story, right?
But if that's not enough, then finally he's like, okay, what happens next? What happens next? Well, he's going to marry the next daughter. What's her name?
Michal.
And he marries Michal. He marries Michal. But of course, he's waiting for his life. And Michal, who of course is obviously safe, she's Shaul's daughter, he runs for his life, and he leaves her behind. And Shaul meddles in this situation, in a marriage. He says, no, listen. Of course, he's upset at David. They weren't really married, blah, blah, blah. And he gives Michal away to another man. This is all openly in the circle. He gives her away. He says, no, now you're married to someone else. What? Sounds crazy. And of course, the Gemara says, he learned that, no, they were never really married to begin with. There wasn't a kosher marriage, blah, 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 whatever. So, who's the new husband, the proud new husband of Michal? A man named Palti Ben Laish. That's his name. The Palti Ben Laish was the Talmud Chacham that said that he knew, wait a second, he knew Dora Nav was correct. Dora Nav, of course, is married. But of course, they not going to walk out of marriage, right? The king said he's supposed to be married to her. So he married her. He married her. He lives with her, so to speak, for 20 years. For 20 years, he slept in the bed next to his wife. But he never touched her. He never touched her. And the Gemara says that he's such a tzaddik. He's such a tzaddik, Palti. He was even greater than Yosef. Yosef just went last in 1 year. Yeah? And right? And the Gemara says in one place, he lasted 1 year that wasn't with a woman who wasn't his wife. Palti lasted 20 years with a woman who wasn't right. Yeah? And he never touched her. And the Medrash says, listen carefully, that because these people were able to, were able to act with such restraint, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached part of his name to their name. Or attached his name to their name. He sealed his name into their name. And that's why, if you look at, as I mentioned before, at the beginning of Shmuel Beis, this guy suddenly appears, instead of being called Palti Ben Laish, he's called Palti El. Palti El Ben Laish. Hey, what happened? Palti El? How did his name become Palti El? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, no, because Hashem stuck his name, tacked his name on. He said, this guy is a tzaddik. I'm going to put my name, attach my name to him. And then I was thinking that the Gemara Sota Lamed Vav says that Yosef also received a name of God. Yosef as well received the name of God. And we see here that things have come full circle. The Gemara and the Midrashim, the different Midrashim, the Gemara, they say different variations. But because they were able to run away from sin and keep away from sin like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu signed their name into their name. His name into their name. You could say, wait a minute, but the other people also were great, didn't sin. But the pshat is that Yisrael and Paltiel and Yehoseh, as we say in the Shir Shal Yom, right? As we say in the Shir Shal Yom from the hill. Right? Yehoseh, why is it called Yehoseh? The Yud Hey is the name of God. Hashem said, oh, wow, why don't I keep away from these runaways and throw it down? I'm putting my name into your name. That's why Yosef's name was extended to Yehoseh. And look at these three people. Not only were they clean from sin, but look at the sincerity. Look at the consistency of the struggle. He's 365 for 365. Iron Man Yosef. That's the chiddush. That Yisrael can live for 20 years like that. 60 years with Esau. That's the struggle. And Paltiel can live for 20 years with a beautiful woman.
that's much, much, way beyond anything that we can, any simple, okay, listen, you know, I had a tithe and I overcame the tithe. And that's the pshat, Rabotai. That's the pshat in the Medrash. The Medrash says in Shmos Rabbah that when it came to Pirkei Yamtzev, the Yamtzev didn't want to split. He says, why should I split? I should leave it. Split in front of the Jewish people. He says, why should I split? I'm older than the Jewish people. Right? I was created, you know, whatever, the second day. Yeah, and the Jewish people were created much later. Maybe the sixth day of creation, maybe whatever, later. I'm not splitting, I'm older than that. And the Sarashal, the mentions the Sarah of the Yam says, we know this. Right? The people of Mitzrayim, they're drowning. They're going to drown. They did Avodah Zarah. And the Jewish people also did Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. So they both did Avodah Zarah. So why should we make a big name for that? The Jewish people, they're just as bad as the Mitzrayim. So Taka, the good conscience, the Medrash says, hey, this question is incorporated into the prophet. That's what the prophet means at the Tehillim. And what we say in Hallel, so next week, please God, Chanukah, Bala, and Zarah, Malachai Yom Kisodis. Wait, why did you run away? Why did you split? Malachai Yom Kisodis. Why did you split? And the Pasuk there says, answers his own question. Hayom Ra'a Vayana. We know this from that capital. The sea saw and it split. What did it see? As the Medrash, what did it see? Hayom Ra'a Vayana. What did it see? Says the Medrash, you know what it saw? It saw, it's really Gemara also. It saw Arono Shel Yosef. That's what it saw. That's what it saw. If you want to look it up, Rashi's Rabbi paid $1. Ra Aron Shel Yosef. It saw the Aron of Yosef. And it said, oh, look at this! Look at that! He was dead, right? He was long died before. But he was taken out. The Aron, the corpse was taken out of the tribe with the Jewish people. Right? And they carry out they carry the corpse, and suddenly he sees the corpse of Yosef. Oh, I'm splitting. What happened? And it split. It said, oh, just like Yosef was what? Vayonah. Yosef ran away. He fled. He fled. He ran outside in the face of Tiber. So too, the Medrash says, that's so too. The Yam said, oh, okay, fine. Israel. That's what this person did, as this body did. That's what I'm going to do also. Vayonah. So it ran away. What's the deeper shot? The deeper shot is that, look, this human being totally went against his nature. Not one time, but really proved. It went against his nature. He went against it for a year. He went against his nature. So if he went against his nature, he totally broke his own nature, I would break my own nature. Oceans don't split, but you know what? I'm going to split. I'm going to go totally against nature. Totally against my normal way. Frek the Shem and I go. Frek the Shem and I go. What do you mean? It needed to see that Rosh Hashanah Yosef? What about Nachshon? Nachshon and Aminadab? Nachshon was there. What did Nachshon do? What did Nachshon do? No? He jumped into the water. Was that against his nature? He was willing to die right there and then. He jumped in the... So he needs to wait till in the back of the one there, you know, Yosef kind of, ooh, and now he split. Why did he split right then? Said to Shem, beautifully, how you sold. You know why? Because sure, Nacho was a great man. I'm not taking anything away from him. But you know, he jumped in one time willing to give his life. But Yosef? Day after day after day after day after day, the guy raised hell. You know what it means to stand up and get to hell like that? Oh, now that guy gets covered. I'm going to split. And therefore, until he saw Yosef, Nachshon wasn't that impressive. He wasn't willing to split for Nachshon. But for Yosef, he lived on Kiddush Hashem. Wow, that's something to talk about. Well, give me the die thing. Okay, a lot of people will die on Kiddush Hashem. Look, okay, Nachshon's a tzaddik. We're not taking it away. But Yosef, he takes it off. And you know what? Heck, you can live on Kiddush Hashem and stick around. And stick around and keep doing it. Stick around the world. No need. No need to give it up. You know, I'll give you the biggest proof. The biggest proof, lo aleinu, rahman al-islam, is suicide. Suicide. God forbid people commit suicide. You know why? Because they have difficulties in their life. They have challenges. And they say, you know what? There are a lot of challenges. We don't like these challenges. Okay, so we'll choose one challenge for one moment, even if it's a significant challenge, and we'll take that over our day-to-day challenges. Our girlfriend doesn't dump us, and we can't get good grades, and we can't make a living, and we have somewhat little problems. Yeah, but consistent problems. Little difficulties, yeah, but consistent difficulties. Not really worth giving up your life for, but you're lazy! You're weak! Okay, fine! So it's easy to die. But let's call it as it is. You're weak. You're not willing to struggle and fight. You're not going to be a man. Stand up and stand up against the other and crush it. Not as I say, a flash in the pan. For 1 second, moment of, so to speak, weakness. It's just like, hey, you put a gun to your head. And you know what? Look in the world. Plenty of people are doing this. Man, was the Rosh Hashiva wrecked? So much easier to die al Kiddush Hashem than to live al Kiddush Hashem. And you know what? The Gemara in Yuma Tehei says, V'chai Bahem. The Gemara says, you should, there's a mitzvah, right? You have to make sure never, that's one of the makaras, we have to make sure God should never give up our life. Unless it's for special reasons. You never have to make sure, do everything that's possible in the world to make sure that you stay alive. The Chaybahem, the Loshiyamasahem, the Gemara Dashim. The Pasuk in the Torah, the Chaybahem, you should live by them. The Gemara Dashim, the Loshiyamasahem, you should not die for them. You should not die. You're supposed to stay alive and keep Torah, not be dead. Don't give up your life. The Pasuk said, some of you might know, a song to these words, Yisrael, I know Rosh Hashanah Kippur, Miyala Baha Hashem. Who can climb to the mountain of God? Difficult. But you know what? It's not nearly as difficult as Miyakum in Kombucha. What does it mean? Miyala means who can climb. But Miyakum means who can remain. You know, it's like King of the Hill, ridiculous game. Sure, you can get that for like a third of a second. Before you get crushed and rocked. Yeah, but yeah, okay, try staying there. Try staying there. That's a machina. That's tough. Miyakum and Kom Kacho. It's not just, oh, I did it, that forever and the rest of my life, I'm at the bottom of the pit. I'm like, oh, look how it was once on top. Look at that. Come on, that's not being the best. Right? Miyakum and Kom Kacho, that's hard. That's difficult. You know, that's a visiting Israel.
What you experienced before you got here.
But visiting is inspiring, it's beautiful, it's exciting. And then suddenly we come for a year, and we're here the whole year. Suddenly it's not so interesting, it's not so exciting, it's not so holy. What happened? What happened? The answer is that we let ourselves fade. And we get used to that, okay, like whatever, it is what it is. And the person visits. Wow, I'm amazed to be here. Isn't it so holy and beautiful? And you're looking at you like, maybe I should tell the truth, you know? And you're not lying. Right? The truth is that for him, it's very exciting. But that's the nature, right, of a one-time event. Of a one-time event. Even in life, it trickles down in basic human interaction, right? It's easier, we all know, it's easier someone visiting your house. Someone visiting your house, it's easier to be nice to him. You'll be all nice to him, right? And then your parents will live in your house your whole life. He's nasty, you know, witch. And he's, you know, such impatience and disrespect. How did that happen? And what the Torah teaches us here, that's not, you're not really good. Look, you think you're great because you're nice to the neighbor, you're nice to the visitor, you're not so great. Well, you're better than nothing. But that's not really cool, great. You want to really be a man, It'd be nice to your grandma who comes every other day, right? And be loving to your parents and kind, and as nice to them as you would to your as you would be to the visitor. So where does that leave us? We have a difficulty here, right? I'm painting a tough picture. We need an apron. I'd like to give you two aces here. This is in general, for our purposes, you know, we really have to focus more on the Yetzirah. To focus on the Yetzirah here. These are different examples here. I believe all of them are authentic. But the fact is, this is the portion of about temptation, about sin, about the Yetzirah, big struggle. So what's the Yetzirah? The fact is that seemingly, we face it not just one day, not just 365 days, but 365 times 1, times 2, times 3, times 3. Please God, 120. We're in for a rough ride. So what's the Eitzah? So I'd like to start off giving us two Eitzahs. You know, like when you have a kasha, you know, there's two ways to answer a kasha. First of all, say, oh, you know, this is the answer. Doesn't apply here, right? And the Ran will say, oh, you know, like the Ramban. Well, they know it's not even a kasha, right? Like, you know, different ways to attack a question, attack a difficulty. So let me suggest two different ways here. One way is that somehow every day should be a sensation. Every nisayon should be like a flash in the pan nisayon, like a one-time nisayon. In other words, we live, we say, whoa, this is like super exciting, right? Like the first day of Yosef with like a nachshon. Like the first day of Yosef with Eitzes Potiphar. The no-brainer, the excitement of passing the test. As the Gemara says, a person should see that every day, the whole world is half guilty and half innocent. And he's the man, like with his next action, as the Rambam writes, his next action is going to decide everything. Right? This is it. This is what it all comes out to right here, right? Well, the Gemara says you should repent one day before your death. You should say, repent? Well, one day, how's that possible? You don't know when you're going to die. Exactly, right? Say, Chazal, exactly, you don't know when you're going to die. Therefore, today might be your last day, your last action. Do it right, right? Live on the edge. Live with sensation. Or the best that I know about these topics, that this concept is really a beautiful one, really beautiful one. And that is as follows. It says, we say every day, We say every day of Elul. This is really a life thing. Shifti b'beit Hashem kol yivei chayai lachzot b'nam Hashem l'bakeh b'echol. What does it mean? Shifti means dwell in the house of God. King David, Hashem is what I want. I want to dwell in the house of God. Shifti, I want to dwell. Right? I want to dwell in the house of God. Okay? Then after that, shifti. Okay. But after that, what did he say? Lachzot b'nam Hashem ule vaker. Okay? The vaker is the word. Biku cholin means to visit. So wait a second. What's the deal with Don Amel? What, he can't make up his mind? And he said, listen, God, I have one thing to ask of you. I want to move in and dwell in your house, and I want to visit you. Come on, man. Like, didn't you go to college? You went to high school? Like, come on, you can't put together a sentence. You can't visit yourself. I want to move in with you and visit you. Hey man, you don't have it. You don't have it. You lost the model. What's the pshat? Maybe the pshat is, as the Bali Mitzvah says. Guys, we have a lot to do. As the Bali Mitzvah says, you know what the pshat is? The pshat is no, it's not a sphere. Okay, please listen. This is with you. You can take this with you forever. The pshat is that we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no! We want to dwell in your house forever! That's what we want! We want to be with you always! Shifti b'beit Hashem! Yeah, but you know what happens after? That's nice for the first week. First 2 weeks, first month. The first time at the Kotel was nice. That was beautiful. What happens when you go there every day, all day, every day, every month, every week, every month, every year? You think you can tire out? I want to visit in your echol. I want to visit in your Beit HaMikdash. It's not a sira. I want every single time I walk into the Beit HaMikdash, every time I walk into the Beit HaMikdash, it should be like, whoa, so that first day, we're all excited, we're all Shmuel, they're like, yeah, we're going to learn. This is what we want to do. It's not a stira. They're both true. I want to move into the Beit Medrash, and I want every single day, every time I walk in there, to be like the first time. And therefore, that's an Eitzah. You want to beat the Eitzah? You want to beat the Eitzah? It's got to be like, this thing says, like, whoa, I never saw that before. That's one Eitzah. But, there's another Eitzah. And that is, by avoiding the Nisayim Megama. By avoiding the Nisayim. Just totally avoiding. You'll tell me, wait a second. Totally avoiding, I just explained to you. You've got 365 days a year for 120 years. How do you just avoid the Nisayim? The Yitzhar attacks us every day. And the answer is so significant. So important. Bali Luther point out. Hanshulah has a piece on this. And that is, don't allow yourself to be tested. How? Lamaisa, as difficult as it is to ingest it. And people are on both sides of this argument and say what you want. But, I don't know. I can, and everyone has their own experience. But from the little I know about life, cold turkey is the only way to go. The only way to go. You see, if you're going to be wishy-washy, what you're doing is you're engaging the Yitzhar. He wants to battle you, and the fact that you're willing to battle, that's the greatest thing that only one. If you'll fight him, you know what? Guess what? He's endless amounts of energy. He'll never run out of strength. He'll never run out of tricks. You'll target yourself. He'll crush you. You can't. If you're going to fight him head on, you're going to lose. There's only one way to really beat him. I mean, I can't say you're going to lose, but you can either over-sensationalize him like a malach and like, shh. But how long can you last like that? Unless every single day you can do what I can describe. Every day it should be like a fight with, you know, like Nachshon. Every day a fight with the malach. Like one day, like a typical one-day thing. It's very hard to do that. But better, you might be better off by avoiding the machlokas. How do you avoid? He's going to chase you. He'll chase you, but you don't pay any attention. Pretend like it doesn't look good. You play hard to get. Trust me. If you go with any Alcoholics Anonymous group, they say, listen, I really want to give up drinking, but I'm just going to have one drink a day. You know, just one, couple, three times a week. Three times a week. Just three drinks a week, and that's it. They'll laugh you out of the building. A lot of you out of the city are like, these guys are veteran, you know, fighters, warriors against the Yitzhar. I said, listen, hey, nice try. It's never happened in the history of the world that someone like one like that. But you'll say, but what should I do? Right? There's only one way to go. There's only one way to go. By avoiding the confrontation, you close the door to the test. Because if there's not even like, I'm not even discussing like, get up or don't get up. It's like no, like right now, if I ask you, definitely have a famous piece about this, right? And everybody said, listen, eat this ham sandwich. You have a tiger for it. We're so the Yitzhara, but the Pshat is you so conditioned yourself that the Yitzhara doesn't. He's closed. He's shut him out. He's out in the cold. He has no door. There's no fight. So the Yitzhara is down here, but you can't. You're so ahead of the game that you've avoided the argument. You don't even contemplate. And therefore there's no fight. If there's no fight, you've won. By not going head to head. Right? As the Gemara says in Sukkah Nun Beis, look it up. The Gemara, you want to say at your Shabbat table? But between men. The Gemara says, Eber Katan Yeshva Adam. There is a small organ within a man. Direct quote from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Re'evo, Marivo, the Gemara says, it's over there. If you
starving? The Gemara says, are you starving? So they have full satisfied. Masbio, if you satiate it, you feed it, but it's starving. The more you feed Yedara, the more starving it becomes. The more crazy it'll make you. The more it'll chase you down. There's no quick way to win. There's no deal. Right? You don't say, oh listen, you look here this time, you won't look that time, you'll go here this time, you won't go here that time, you'll do this, and you'll see this, and you'll think about this. You're playing a game that you're gonna lose. It's a downward spiral. The only thing that works, Gemara says, the right way is the AA way, and the NA way, and the GA way, etc., etc. And that is cold turkey. Cold turkey, just avoid the fact. That's what the Gemara says, Hanshla points out, the Gemara says, what does Palti do? It wasn't that he was just only able to withstand it. What he did was he took a sword, the Gemara says, he took a sword, not the Pasuk, this is just the Gemara, he took a sword, he stabbed it between the bed, and he told his wife, Michal, he said, look, anyone who crosses this line, gets killed by the sword. And he just made a decision. Stand! That was it. That was it. In other words, of course, it was difficult, but the point is, he stood by that decision. That was a decision. He just made, it was like cold turkey, so to speak. Right? That's this concept. That's what Chanshul has developed. But you know what? That's not the only way. I mean, that is the only way in regards to the struggle. But there are other tricks. Right? So other ideas, the other things that we need to know. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, a quote, Avodah Zarah Nachas. The Gemara says, Ashreihem Yisrael, the new topic, a new tachbula here, a new chizuk. Ashreihem Yisrael, b'zman shehem oskim b'teorah, Yitro Matur Lehem. Yitro Matur Lehem, the Gemara says. If a person fills his mind with Torah, he becomes the owner. He's in the driver's seat. If a Jew fills his mind with Torah, he can control it. As we see in this parasha, the famous Melitza, the beautiful verse in the Baal HaMusar. If you don't know it, you should learn it right here, where it says, "Yosef was thrown into the water." It's a nice verse for Hanukkah, all right? For everyone except if it comes to my house, yeah. And someone else, I don't know, maybe they've never heard it before. Who knows? And Yosef throws in the pit, and what's in the pit? What's in the pit? No? Babo Reik! Ainbo Mai, says the Gemara. Mai Mango? No? But the Chashu, the Akravim Yeshbo. Right? It says about the Muslim beautifully. What does Mai stand for? What does Mai signify? Of course, that Gemara stands as it is. That's what happened by Yosef. But as far as applying to us, Mayim is well known as a muscle for what? For Torah. Mayim Eimo! If there's no Torah in the bar, Nechashim HaKrav Negeshmo. If you fill your mind with Torah, if you're in the grind, your brain is busy with Torah, you say, Mayim Eimo! You let your mind be free from Torah? You know what's waiting right there, crouching. Jump into Philip's place. The Chashan HaKrav Nyeshla. There's no Torah. We're an interested human being. Right? We need stimulation. We need fulfillment. We need our minds to be busy. We're hungry for something spiritual, for something beautiful, for something interesting. For something stimulating. Oh, yeah, you know what's going to happen. Your mind's not in Torah. You know, you're one step away. Okay? As soon as you pull the blood in Torah, but then your mind is hurting. Plenty of snakes and scorpions ready to fill your mind. The famous Rambam writes, at the end of his Surah Bia, he writes about it. The best way to keep from the HR is to be learning. But there's more. It's Tfila, as Mar says, with Kiddushin and Sukkah, that a person has to daven that Hashem should save him from the Yitzhahara. And there's more than that, let's just say quickly some of the lists that we've spoken about in the past. Right? There's more. There's Yichud. Don't Don't get involved in Yichud. How did this whole story happen? How did this happen? She's with him. She's standing there every day. She's making a path to him. She says, sleep with me, sleep with me. How could she say sleep with me in a crowded room? The people listening? Come on. She's a married woman. She can't say that. How could she have ever said sleep with me? And every day sleep with me. It must be that Yosef was stuck with me. He was in heaven. What was he supposed to do? He was there in the house. And she was alone with him. Okay, not as alone. As alone on that fateful day when the Torah says there was nobody in the whole house. Not just in that, nobody in the whole house. Okay, and sitting down. And then Zichra, the Rambam says Abosai, he will say it again and again. Abosai, the Rambam's Lashon, that Yichud is the Goreim Gadol. The Goreim HaGadol, like it's there, and remember it, Yichud is the Goreim HaGadol. The rabbis are not stupid. Chachamim are not stupid. The Torah is not stupid. There's a reason why it says there's a halacha, don't have Yichud. Because once you have Yichud, and the girl is cute, and then there's the gear. You're cooked. You're shackled. You're finished. It's over. There's no struggle. No matter what my fault. She was so beautiful. And you know what? I'll tell you my response. You know what? You're right. You might be surprised for me to say, you're right. I can't help you. Could have happened to me. Could happen to the greatest rabbi. But you're an idiot. Why are you alone with a woman? Why are you not somebody here? What are you, crazy? What are you nuts? You're playing fire at, like you're crazy. Oh, you think, oh, it's just a joke, we're rabbi, we joke around, we're showing, we're not showing, I'm showing, you showing, rabbi, you showing. It's like the whole thing's a joke. Oh, rabbi, hi. You know what? You laugh. But you don't see the shadows. My father's the road. You don't hear the shadows on the other side. This one fell into bed with that one, and this one with drank a little too much, and this one, she was away, she's a firm woman. And somehow she wasn't thinking, and she, idiot. It's not a game, it's not a joke. The 800 yelled to kill you, the Gemara says. If he could, he would crush you. The Torah, the Gemara says. Look it up, still in the days, and Kedushin Aklamid. The Yitzhak wants to kill you. He wants to shoot the Gemash, he wants to kill you. And he's waiting for a chance to crush you, to destroy you in this world and in the next world. It's not a game, it's not something to joke about. Don't joke about things like that. Not like that. Of course, he's alone with a woman. That's what happened. That's the way of the world. That's what's going to happen. The Rambam says, the Goreim HaGadol, don't do it. Don't do it. I had a Yichud challenge this week. His mom is the middle of the night. Someone called me, they're having a baby. I went over. It was the middle of the night. They ran to the hospital. I'm going to go and say, wait a second. They have a little daughter here. I have a Shabbat Yichud. Now, if you hear, like, tell me, let them know. The Gemara says stories like this. The rabbi used to say, listen, be careful. Make sure that I don't sleep with my daughter alone. What, that means the rabbi is an altizer? It means that if he's a human being, he's about everyone's about that. He's a me. If he's a human being, he's a Yedara. And if you say you're only a Yedara, you're the most dangerous of all. Don't lie. Aye, okay, so maybe you don't have an active Yedara for an 8-year-old girl. Yeah, but wait a second. What does it say in the Gemara? Is that Buta or Asa? Is that against the din? Am I following the Torah or am I not following the Torah? I think I have a pretty clean mind here. But that's not the point. So you ate that, you had that. I sure do. So that's it, there are rules. The rabbis are smart. There are rules. And the rules are the rules. And you break the rules, you're an idiot. Because that's the beginning of the end. You want to start engaging with Yitzhak? Yitzhak is more than happy to spar with you. He'd love to have a little, wrestling with you. He'd love it. So I called him up in the middle of the night. I'm lucky that the number of the rabbis in America. So, I called America. And the rest says, no.
Can't beat it. All right. So I drove home, I woke up my wife, and we switched. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. And then, if you think that's bad, then she touches him. She touches him. Man, you think you're big till you can hold your own until then. And then he forgets. Then he's like, look, if I'm here for one more second, I'm gonna say, he runs. See, I'm literally running away. I'm running away from this, even if he's embarrassed. Remember, she took his clothes. And by the way, who said he was wearing anything under that? Like, she runs out. This guy runs out. So what? I can't. My whole life is on the line. Not just that I'm going to make this girl a present. I destroy my all my dad, destroy my all my body, destroy everything. Destroy everything. And she's a married woman. What, the whole thing is crazy. I hate to say this. I'm going to say it anyway. A few quick ideas. Just a quick one. I'll leave them to you undeveloped. But just other pieces of advice. The biggest problem is all is that Yosef is Mitzrayim. A Jew doesn't belong in Mitzrayim. What is a Jew doing in the dirtiest place in the world? All right, you know, it happens to be he was sold there. And we'll laugh and joke, and you know what? We could talk about it a different time. But a Jew doesn't belong with guys. It doesn't work. You know, he goes to, U of M. Yeah, University of the Tribe. I just think, the fact is that look what happens to a Jew when he goes to U of M. I know that's a big statement. I know that's a big statement, but again, you're looking at the world from this side, and I'm looking at the world from a totally different perspective. Cool, you know what? I invite you. Call them up. Call them up. Ask them. Say, listen, I want to know what it looks like. And I wish I was. I'm telling you, if I didn't hear these things, I wouldn't tell you. I'm okay. I'm good. I go to Tech University, right? These women doing whatever they're doing, and there's a guy making love to a girl in the bed next to you. Yeah, this is a mixed dorm, big country, mind your business. Yeah, I mean, I wish I was joking. Excuse me for being so graphic. Et cetera. What do we, and okay, so we joke about it, but you have to understand. You know how many people have been Yosef, have been sacrificed on the altar of, I'm all right, I'm okay. What do you do? Why do you want to enter into the shrine? Don't go there. Don't put yourself in a position like that. If Yosef Atzadik, the son of Yaakov Avinu, the tzaddik! And look how he's struggling! You want to tell me, where is Yosef HaTzaddik? Yosef is this close to sin. You have to learn it from his lesson. In addition to the lesson of being lonely and being sad, right, like Yosef was, you're a sitting duck. You're a target. Undeveloped. You're a target. And in addition to being, being having a bad self-image, you're a sitting duck, you're a target. That's perhaps why Yosef says, and then he goes all the way back to anyway. I'm the greatest. And Yosef's on an ego trip. But try as you know, he has to build it. Maybe he's talking to himself. I'm great! I'm a savage! I come from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov! And Chazal said, he was telling him. He has to tell him he's great. He has to say how great he is for his own sake. If you have a poor self-image, you think you're not important, you're not holy. Again, cooked. And lastly, one other tachbula. And we see from this story the fact that he says, look, I can't sleep with you. What about my master? I keep my word to my master.
Keep it.
And then eventually the prophet says, and I believe in God. So why did he say that first? He says, listen, forget the halacha. He doesn't say that. He says, no, listen, I have to keep my word to my master. I promise my master. You trust me, I'm not to sleep with you, blah, blah, blah. So what does he say? Maybe. Sometimes it's more difficult to fight the title in regards to Ben Adam Mamako than it is in regards to Ben Adam Chaver. In other words, it's easier to sin against God than it is to sin against man. And you know what? Maybe Yosef's talking to himself. He needs to strengthen himself. You know what I'm saying? Listen, in the end, we'll give up on God. Okay, listen, God will be mochala, chalila. But my friend, wait a second, I have a deal with my friend. I'm not going to sin. I promised him. He promised me. We wouldn't sin. We promised each other. Right? I said, I'm not going to sin. Well, I don't know how that is. It's immoral between man and man. Maybe that's another angle, almost a trick that you have to use in order to hold yourself back from sinning. And only against God, you realize that itself, sinning against He gave his word. It's immoral for reasons which are closer to, for better or worse, sometimes closer to our heart. Anyway, Halavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, should be matzah, as the Gemara says, should be matzah, we have to daven. The Gemara says, you have to daven every day, should be matzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be matzah, when he has no heart. If you daven for money, the Gemara says, you want to daven to become a son of Allah. If you daven to be able to beat you, he has no heart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be matzah, what's in faith. And should be not us from the Sion, from the Sionos, that we do every day. And our Rabbi, we should be Zohar to be Tzadikim and live the Kedusha and Tarek.
Yeah, there you were.